Freedom from the Fog: How I Healed Anxiety, Fatigue, and Depression Without Drugs, by Russell Simmons. Introduction. In this fifth edition of Healing Anxiety and Depression Without Drugs, October 2024, I share my deeply personal journey through anxiety disorder, chronic fatigue, and severe depression. This is not just a retelling of my struggles, but a guide to the natural healing therapies, nutritional approaches, and lifelong dietary strategies that helped me navigate and ultimately recover from this overwhelming experience. The solutions outlined in this book come from decades of trial and error. Through my own journey, I've uncovered practical methods to manage and alleviate anxiety and depression without relying on medication. If you're seeking a path to healing that addresses the root causes, whether they be emotional, nutritional, or spiritual, this book is here to guide you. My experience was a living nightmare. I faced some of the most harrowing panic attacks and bouts of depression imaginable, with symptoms that felt utterly out of control, racing heartbeats, sleepless nights, and debilitating mental anguish. I often wondered if I would ever escape the vicious cycle of fear and hopelessness. But through a process of discovery and persistence, I found a way out, and I believe you can too. This book isn't just about managing symptoms. It's about empowering you to reclaim control of your life. My goal is to share everything I've learned so that you too can experience the profound relief of overcoming anxiety and depression naturally, without the need for drugs. In this book, I share my personal journey through the depths of anxiety, depression, and chronic fatigue, offering practical solutions I discovered through years of trial and error. My life was once a waking nightmare. Long periods of depression, coupled with feelings of despair, seemed to stretch on endlessly, making each day unbearable. The intensity of my emotional struggles was compounded by the fact that I also dealt with something akin to Asperger's syndrome, which led to me being a target of bullying throughout my school years. These experiences left me angry, isolated, and overwhelmed by a world that felt hostile, chaotic, and confusing. Like many, I sought help, hoping to find relief. Yet I encountered a wide range of diagnoses from different experts, which only left me feeling more confused and alarmed. The prescribed medications, while tempting as a quick fix, carried dangerous side effects that I felt could drag me into a deeper rabbit hole of dependency. I knew I had to find another way, so I made a bold decision to explore alternative therapies and avoid the pitfalls of pharmaceuticals. This decision was not easy, and it marked the beginning of an arduous journey toward healing. Natural therapies, nutritional changes, and alternative health approaches, however, were far from straightforward. I quickly realized that no single food, supplement, or treatment could solve my complex set of issues. It required a holistic, synergistic approach, combining health-building foods, probiotics, prebiotics, and supplements with lifestyle practices such as meditation, intermittent fasting, exercise, and the conservation of vital energy. Healing, I found, wasn't about quick fixes, but about creating balance across many areas of my life. Throughout this process, I was shocked by the lack of moral support and constructive feedback from those around me. I had hoped for encouragement, especially after writing this book, but instead, it was met with criticism and misunderstanding. Yet, despite the struggles, this journey gave me invaluable insights into how to heal the mind and body naturally through wholeness, rather than relying on drugs. I wrote this book because I know the pain of feeling lost and hopeless, and I want to offer an alternative path to others who are suffering. My methods may seem unconventional, but they worked for me, and I believe they can help others reclaim their lives from the grip of anxiety and depression. Chapter 1: How My Life Was Ruined. For over 50 years, I suffered severely from anxiety and depression. My condition rapidly deteriorated as soon as I started high school, and it became even worse later on, almost as if the universe and everything in it were deliberately trying to make my life as miserable as possible. This is my story of great emotional pain, long years of isolation, misery, grief, outrage, and utter hopelessness, and how I gradually found my way out of this dismal tunnel of despair and into the light of wisdom, joy, and great relief. Starting around the age of 14, my well-meaning but exasperated parents required me to undergo the usual series of distressingly intrusive, full physical examinations by various physicians and a standard psychoanalysis. My parents naturally became quite concerned and, of course, wanted to help me any way they knew how. I was initially diagnosed with anxiety neurosis at 14, and later on in my early 20s, anxiety disorder, which was eventually followed by many failed attempts at conventional drug therapies of various kinds. These conventional drug therapies continued into my late 30s, but without the slightest degree of improvement, only continued worsening of my condition and a rather annoying and alarming expansion of the number and variety of my symptoms. As I approached my 40s, I became a basket case of many different symptoms that sometimes I managed to overcome, at least temporarily, but oftentimes not. And it seemed to be no end in sight to the hell I was going through, and was utterly mystified as to why it was all still happening in the first place, in spite of all my best efforts to eliminate it. Even though I was already having to deal with all the complications and annoyances one usually is challenged with while growing up, I was also rudely confronted with the utterly mysterious and terrifying symptoms of panic disorder. Not at first knowing what the hell was going on, they devastated my days at school and disrupted my concentration on schoolwork. After what usually was a rough day in school, especially throughout high school, I would come home completely exhausted, frustrated, and unable to concentrate on anything, especially homework. I endured a very limited social life and no girlfriends. I suffered for what seemed like an eternity from social anxiety, agoraphobia, loneliness, severe acne, mysterious weight loss, and crippling depression. From junior high to high school, throughout the early to mid-1970s, most kinds of team sports really bothered me, especially the ones requiring quick thinking with potential for injury. And as a result, I became terrified of baseball, football, soccer, water polo, etc., whenever forced into those activities as part of the required physical ed high school curriculum. I struggled for a really long time trying to fit in anywhere. Everyone seemed to be utterly self-confident, often downright brazen, in fact, while I felt utterly confused and heartbroken. I suffered much hazing from others and much rejection and unrequited love from members of the opposite sex I felt attracted to, resulting in a vicious cycle of continued social anxiety, astonishment and resentment of other people's popularity and success, and my overwhelming sense of rejection, isolation, and alienation. Fortunately, the hazing seemed to diminish considerably by the time I reached my senior year in high school, but the crippling anxiety, fatigue and depression, etc., increased in its place. It was a miracle I had the courage and nerve to pass the test to get my driver license in 1982 at the age of 24, not because I did not know how to drive, but because I felt utterly, utterly terrified of anything to do with it. Even worse, there were only a limited few jobs I could handle, and because of the agoraphobia I suffered from so horribly, they needed to always be a very short distance from home. Having to stop at busy intersections or being forced to go on a freeway would scare me the most, because I was always terrified the motor would cut out and die on me, and be stranded for a long time in an extremely hazardous situation, far from home. Most unfortunately, the agoraphobia and anxiety disorder continued to grow worse and worse through college, where I tried to study nutrition, psychology, astronomy, and especially art, and well into my work years. Even though I somehow managed to earn a couple of degrees, Bachelor of Science and Associate in Arts, my grades were nearly always so-so. The problem was, even though I seemed intelligent and deep-thinking enough to pass certain minimal requirements, intelligence tests, etc., I was often crippled by my negative moods and an ever-increasing and extremely annoying lack of mental energy. It did not take much stress at all to completely tire me out, and was often missing classes or even entire semesters because of my chronic fatigue illness. I would often have to sleep in all day. At times, this sleeping sickness of mine proved to be very awkward. This problem would be terrible for my business as an artist and maintenance manager. I would then try to eat something, but would then get severe depression right after eating, and then fall asleep again in the afternoon until 6 p.m., after which I would finally have some energy to barely get what needs doing as fast as I possibly could before the extremely disruptive and annoying cycle would repeat itself. I would have so little energy that time seemed speeded up. People would speak faster than I could understand them, and the days would seem to go by like hours. And of course, it was all in my head, so snap out of it. By the time I was finally able to get up and start working, the day would already be over. I was often up late at night trying to catch up with all the business and housework I should have been doing the previous day. At the same time, I had to fight off severe anxiety attacks, extremely disrupting vertigo, horrible agoraphobia, and worrisome heart symptoms. I was also always behind financially. Changes of any kind really upset me, and they made me feel disoriented. I had a hard time keeping track of events and keeping my priorities organized unless everything remained constantly the same, which of course is impossible in an ever-changing, dynamic and disruptive world such as the one we all live in. Familiar friends moving away, meeting new people, traveling, moving out, and distant locations often alarmed and frightened me. I hated sports and driving or any potentially dangerous activity requiring constant adaptations to rapid changes, and always much preferred quiet activities having only safe and predictable outcomes, such as reading, hobbies, and meditation in a peaceful, familiar, and static environment. I always tended to have very few, but only meaningful, close-knit friendships of the spiritual kind. The agoraphobia continued to limit my range of travel more and more as time marched on, and had to endure long years of horrible, really frustrating depression, isolation, emotional confusion, and brain fog. I really struggled with financial survival and could only hold jobs that were simple, local, and stress-free, such as gardening, painting, and handyman-type projects. I must have tried nearly every work-at-home program I could get my hands on, but always met with horrible results. Everything proved to be difficult no matter what it was. Even though I managed to express myself with a rather unusual artistic talent, the severe depression always made it very, very challenging to actually complete an excellent painting, let alone try to make a living at selling them. Throughout the late 70s, 80s and 90s, I tried in vain to find the cause of my suffering through religions, gurus, doctors, psychiatrists, etc., only to be severely disappointed by their "it's all in your head" diagnosis and treatment methods. It seemed far worse than just anxiety neurosis or the later diagnosis of anxiety disorder. I couldn't believe nor accept it. I thought I either had to have heart disease, kidney failure, cancer, strokes, tumors, diabetes, lead poisoning, mercury, DDT, or any combination of the above. But over and over, all my tests revealed nothing substantial or really significant. No toxins, no poisons, nothing that made sense or was helpful. I seemed to suffer from a misfit illness without any significant diagnosis, remedy, purpose, cause, or reason, because any one diagnosis never covered all the other annoying symptoms I suffered from. I tried counseling, Christianity, Christian and religious science, Eastern religions, meditation, yoga, frequent days of research at the library, health food stores, and even positive thinking for countless years spanning several decades. But still my problems only got worse and more complicated. I felt life was closing in on me as my comfort zone continued to melt away like a receding glacier. I started feeling more and more like a nutcase and a good candidate for insanity, as more and more of my family and friends gave me the "it's all in your head, so snap out of it" insult to injury behavior treatment. Nearly all of my acquaintances had no understanding nor sympathy for my chronic problems, so they left me alone. I spent most of my time very much alone and isolated. Being with people scared me so much, I often had to run to an isolated, quiet room or area where no people were around. To my utter horror, as I grew older, I noticed I could no longer fill out any forms nor sign my name on my check or credit card receipt in public without an immense or superhuman effort at self-control, because my hand would overwhelmingly shake far too much. Some of my signatures looked absolutely bizarre, and any forms filled out in public illegible. Whenever I needed a job, I went through hell just trying to fill out a simple job application. Conversations would end abruptly because I kept losing track of what I was going to say next, and would have trouble remembering what the other person said. I would have to stop in mid-sentence because I could not complete it, resulting in incredible embarrassment, another anxiety attack, and feeling like an idiot. This mental block would nearly always happen at the worst possible or critical moment, such as when having to explain a very serious problem over the phone during an emergency confrontation, or speaking in front of a group of people, resulting in an incredibly severe fear of public speaking and socializing of any kind. Whatever it was, when I needed it the most, I would have it the least. My fears played on my nerves in unimaginable ways. I also had many physical symptoms too that drove me crazy. My heart kept skipping beats and/or speeding up and keeping me awake all night, especially if on any sort of medication, making me think I was having a heart attack. I would often have horrible nightmares, then wake up terrified in a cold sweat and in total confusion, not knowing where I was. I would not be able to sleep again until 5 in the morning. Then I would have to sleep all day to compensate for the nightly insomnia and to cope with the devastating stress, vertigo, and depression. I often suffered severe confusion and other problems with lack of appetite, extreme cravings, and digestion. I could not eat on a regular basis and often suffered severe diarrhea, sometimes for months on end. I also felt a great sense of unworthiness, tiredness, and fatigue that drove me nuts whenever I needed to get anything done. Expenses would accumulate, and I could never get ahead financially, no matter how hard I fought the overwhelming urge to sleep all the time, especially after eating. Greatly misunderstood, I was considered by others as very lazy, under the influence, because of my vertigo, even though I never got drunk and never took anything illegal, and a poor achiever or so, much dead wood, as I was often unable to support myself. Imagine all this happening while growing up and while trying to survive in the world. It was hell. After a few massive anxiety attacks in 1982, I became almost permanently agoraphobic. In order to avoid terrible panic, I always had to stay within my local neighborhood or within the city limits. This problem was a disaster for dating, and so had to remain lonely. I experienced severe weight loss trying to avoid foods I was allergic to. Becoming afraid to eat while avoiding so many foods I thought were causing my terrible symptoms often made me look like a concentration camp victim. Nothing I ate would put on weight anyway. It would just go right on through, causing severe gas, bloating, and diarrhea. Nothing in my life went right, not even my digestion. As I grew older, I became more and more angry and cynical about life. I would often get so frustrated that I would lose my temper and break things. With every new thing I learned from hours and hours of intense research, first at libraries and later on the internet, I went through a seemingly endless series of heart-wrenching cycles of hope, disappointment, despair, and anger. I must have thought of 100 different ways to end my life, so desperate was I to stop the severe emotional pain and broiling frustration requiring some serious anger management, but felt too sensitive and afraid to try anything, because wholeness was what I so desperately longed for, not self-harm, even though my life often felt like an internal concentration camp or hell on earth. Instead of suicidal ideations, I wisely become obsessed with trying to learn astral travel, the afterlife, breatharianism, etc., while trying to learn how to leave my body through meditation, celibacy, transmutation, water fasting, and yoga, rather than self-harm. I studied every astral travel book I could afford. One of the few sources of consolation I could find were books and websites on life after death. Some spiritualist websites in particular became an absolute favorite of mine. They seemed to provide very definitive proof of a magnificent life after death, so as a result was able to feel a bit better about life, even though life continued to seem so utterly unfair to me in multitudes of different ways. Not to mention how sorry I felt for countless other poor souls still stuck in this very challenging world. Throughout the early 80s to early 90s, I tried various medications such as amipramine, Xanax, Trancin, and Buspar. They were expensive and only gave me very disruptive and embarrassing side effects with no benefits. In fact, it seemed every medication I tried only made my symptoms, depression, panic attacks, spaciness, memory lapses, vertigo, fatigue, and frightening heart symptoms, much worse, especially the amipramine, which I had to endure 2 separate trials for 6 weeks. I eventually became so frustrated and upset with medications, I permanently stopped taking them, especially with having to wait for so many weeks for them to work, only to find they have the opposite effect. I am very much against pharmaceutical drugs because when one relies too much on any pharmaceutical drug, one is often simply using an isolated group of brain chemicals to cover up a symptom, often caused by leaky gut microbial issues, food addictions, free radical damage, poor diet, etc., which can grow more and more serious every year until even more medications are required to cover up even more and more symptoms before the body finally breaks down completely, often resulting in death. Forced in my situation to try something different, I looked into such things as diet, herbs, and alternative medicine. I tried experimenting with diet for many years, but with only limited results that sometimes even seemed to backfire like the drugs did. However, the results were enough to convince me to look even further into the subject of nutritional therapy, and to verify if such a thing as a nutritional therapy for anxiety did in fact exist. It was not until after over a decade of trial and error that in the late 80s, I finally developed a kind of diet that most closely resembled an Atkins or Paleolithic type diet, high in raw fruit / vegetable juices. Cooked green vegetables and complete proteins such as fish, chicken, and organ meats, including many herbal and vitamin supplements. I was extremely excited because I felt I finally found a diet that actually seemed to keep my depression and anxiety under a certain amount of control on a more reliable, consistent basis. Of course, I was not happy about the fact I had to consume meals high in meat such as fish, chicken, and plenty of green vegetables instead of milk, cheese, and cereals. However, at least it seemed to help recover some of my health, until I could hopefully someday find an advanced high-protein vegetarian diet that could do the same. As I continued throughout the 90s to tinker around with my diet, I found even more foods that helped and was able to identify and remove foods that did not. No longer was the notion that one could treat emotional problems with just diet a hopeful fantasy. It was an established fact, a reality. This bit of encouragement spurred me on with ever greater thoroughness and ever increasing confidence about what I ate, and great zeal. However, Others really got irritated with my single-minded conversations about food and how essential it is to eat correctly. As time moved on, I managed to experiment with more foods and ways of preparing and eating them, and continued improving the effectiveness of my regimen, often with adding more and more antioxidants and herbs, etc. But there always still seemed to be much more room for improvement. A long time ago, I read somewhere that if one drank more water, that alone could improve one's health, energy, and state of well-being. I therefore started drinking loads of water between meals, instead of snacking, which resulted in a rather significant breakthrough. I realized snacking was in itself a cause of many of my inflammatory food sensitivities, dental problems, and bad mental, emotional and physical cerebral reactions that would not otherwise take place if all foods eaten in a day were somehow grouped together in one wholesome, complete meal, while the rest of the day was spent detoxifying on drinking water. In 1994, I wrote a book about an entire yogic system and lifestyle that's supposed to lead to bliss, enlightenment, and wholeness. Naturally, to the annoyance of others, I became extremely obsessed with my health and what I ate and how I ate for many, many years to come. I would often spend all day in libraries behind books, etc., and later the internet, doing intense research on diet, nutrition, and neurochemistry. People avoided me because diet was all I ever seemed to talk about. While speaking with me, they found it very difficult to get away from the subject. Careful and limited, scientifically guided eating was my savior and only hope for existence without fear and crippling depression. Unfortunately, at the end of June 1999, I was forced to move out from my dad's home after 8 horrible years of severe clashes with my stepmom, not wanting me living at my original home anymore. This was utterly, utterly devastating. Still being quite agoraphobic and still without sufficient income, moving out was going to be one of the most extreme emotional and financial challenges of my life. I was forced to live in and pay for an apartment for the first time ever. The years between 1999 and 2012 at my Costa Mesa apartment contained some of the worst years of anxiety and financial setbacks ever. The rent kept increasing every year until I had to declare bankruptcy in 2005. I often skipped entire days of eating to help pay the ever-increasing rent. It's called water fasting. That's how I learned the water fasting breatharian diet. That's how I survived such adverse circumstances. At the end of April, in the year 2000, during the times I could still afford to eat, I transitioned over to a mainly vegetarian, often raw food diet, including raw eggs. Bee pollen, nuts, seed, and spirulina, fruits, greens, vegetables, herbs, but with occasional cooked chicken, turkey, fish, vegetables, etc. With enough improvement in my overall health and mental well-being to consider it an important step in the right direction. I oftentimes dislike the idea of cooking, destroying good food, and eating meat and pasteurized/homogenized dairy products. I still felt anxious and agoraphobic, however, but my adverse symptoms gradually became easier to manage and was beginning to find some spiritual comfort and enlightenment as well. I started to learn and master the transmutation of celibacy, which was another breakthrough significant enough to mention here. I learned about ionized water and the importance of alkaline, negatively charged minerals, dolomite, and powerful antioxidants, such as microhydrin and glutathione peroxidase. I became obsessed with ionized water and dolomite, while unsuccessfully trying to go breatharian, so I would no longer have to suffer the negative consequences of eating. However, my intense interest in 100% raw and alkaline foods, breatharianism, ionized water, and dolomite were just stages in my long, torturous, twisted, and arduous journey toward fulfillment. In January of 2002, I decided to start a website, still online in 2023, which would serve as an information and research center to encourage the development and exchange of new ideas related to overcoming all the frustrations, diseases, and other hazards of our human condition, and to overcoming all limitations and all forms of suffering. I am interested in and wrote about alternative, natural, effective, wholesome ways to overcome anxiety, depression, the aging process, and many other diseases. I have dedicated my life to the elimination of fear, depression, ignorance, suffering, loneliness, pollution, overpopulation, etc., and to the study of certain controversial subjects such as life after death, astral projection, breatharianism, and many more. I am hoping it will be a lighthouse to many in search of or in need of help. I realized a long time ago that everyone's situation is unique, so I can't guarantee the same improvements I enjoy. The methods I use to improve my health includes water fasting as long as comfortable between whole, complete meals consisting of a wide variety of whole foods, superfoods, and all kinds of adaptogenic herbs, supplements, alkaline minerals, antioxidants, etc., which I will get into with much greater detail later on in this book. Also, my story and physiological explanations for my gradual recovery, from 2002 all the way into 2020 and beyond, from decades of illness, are much more complicated than what I can write down here in a single book. But I will certainly try my honest best. However, as it is possible to benefit tremendously from water fasting between whole, complete superfood meals, mainly alkaline-forming, plant-based food with an adequate source of complete protein and a full spectrum of all minerals and antioxidant supplements. I have found in my experience, correct nutritional therapy is essential to healing regardless of what condition one may be suffering from. And it seems that many new natural healing substances and antioxidants continue to be researched and discovered at an exponential rate. Now with the internet, the list of available supplements that can improve your sense of well-being and your health seems to have become endless. My story does not end here. I managed to continue even to this very day, July 12, 2023, refining and developing a whole advanced dietary regimen, similar to a Mediterranean diet but very high in roughage, and spiritual system of knowledge intended to completely heal one of all manner of diseases and lifelong difficulties. As a result of all the additional research being done, I need to continue to update my health books regularly.